Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Ready Your Future podcast. I'm Todd Sepulveda, a regular guy living in the suburbs who understands the need to be better prepared for the future and wants to help others get prepared too. Hey guys, like I said, welcome back to another episode. It's been a while. Hey, as I start this episode, I want to give a couple of shouts out. First, Gary, a longtime supporter of the podcast, Ready Your Future. Thank you so much. Not once, but twice, Gary has bought me, since the last episode, coffee over at Buy Me a Coffee. He bought me 5 coffees 2 times. I'm so grateful for that, Gary. Thank you so much. I want to give a shout out to Sean from Australia, who bought me 3 coffees. Thank you so much for doing that. And then I want to give a shout out to Nicholas. Nicholas responded back to one of the episodes that one of the last episodes that I did, when I was talking about doing episodes in the truck and trying to get a better sound. And he sent me an email with a great link to a website called auphonic.com. I think auphonic.com. So not only did he say, "Hey Todd, you know, check this link out. This will, you know, help tighten up your, take out the road noise and all that good stuff." He gave me the settings to use. His settings, they worked really, really well. I started, putting some other things that I've done. Guys, I've got episodes that I just haven't released and they're just kind of sitting on my desktop, and things that I've recorded in my truck. And I've just kind of been, playing around with things and waiting for all of that. But anyway, so I put them in there and man, it was pretty powerful and it worked really well. So I want to give Nicholas a shout out. He runs a podcast as well. And I'm going to say this wrong, but it's Hamburgskap. I put that into Google Translate, and it's Swedish. So it's home preparedness. Actually, it came up Kurdish first, which meant cooperation. But then I'm like, no, I know he's from Sweden. So I changed that, and it's like, it means home preparedness. And so I've gone over to his blog, and I'll link to it. Of course, it's all, it's all going to be, unless you, you're from his country, you're not going to be able to understand it. But his blog, I went to his blog and I was able to use the Google Translate on the blog, and there's some good stuff over there. So if you're interested, I know I have listeners from Sweden. Feel free to go over there and click on the link and go check it out. So Nicholas, thank you so much for that. I want to give a shout out to the listeners in Jamaica. I know I have some listeners there that in Jamaica the podcast shot up even during the time when I wasn't putting out new episodes. The podcast shot up there. And so I'm very grateful for you that are listening, and those of you that are listening all over the world. So grateful. Hey, this article that we're going to look at today is from my friend Brian Hawkins over at Next Step Survival. It's an article that he wrote called "Prepping Has Taught Me How to Answer Those Questions from Non-Preppers." So I want to read his article, and it's kind of funny because he does have a way on his articles that you can listen to. It basically turns the text into an audio version, and so you can listen to it if you want to do that. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and read it, maybe do a little bit of commentary as I go, and then share just one of my lessons learned that I've been kind of really focusing on lately, probably the last 2 months. It's just kind of been sitting, I guess, in my crawl, for lack of a better term. But again, coming to us from nextstepsurvival.com, "Prepping has taught me how to answer those questions from non-preppers." And then I guess the subtitle would be "What 8 years of running Next Step Survival has taught me." So he does have some, I will refer to him when I get to him, but people have left him comments and on YouTube and maybe on social media and different things like that. Maybe they've emailed him. And so he puts some of those in here. And so I'll refer to that when we get to those. All right, so let's go ahead and start reading. "I feel like a little honest prepper talk. I'll address what prepping has taught me and whether it seems like I've wasted all these years. So how long have I prepped? A common question is, how long have you been prepping? That's a tough one to answer because, well, I'm not entirely sure. I started Next Step Survival 8 years ago in May. And so Usha777 asked, "You have a great supply. How long have you been stocking up? Looks like it would cost a lot to do in a short time." And then another person asked, "How long have you been doing this? Brian responds, I've prepped long before that. I remember a mindset change from the 2003 widespread power outage, but I did prep along with a get home pack loaded with survival gear. I carried in my truck as an over the road truck driver throughout the 90s, well before I knew what a prepper was. So what did I learn from all these years of practicing a preparedness lifestyle? Am I better off now, or were those years wasted for nothing? Would that money and effort be better spent on more realistic things? And did I allow paranoia and prepper fear to cause undue stress on my life and that of my family? So all questions I will tackle right now. Let's do it. So let's try a little prepper talk. What prepping has taught me. What have I learned? Well, a lot of emergency preparedness stuff, for sure. Prepping has taught me about food storage and priceless survival skills like long-term food storage, canning, dehydrating, gardening, freeze-drying, fire starting, water collection and filtration, hiking, outdoor survival skills, communications, off-grid power, emergency shelter, situational awareness, self-defense, first aid, and many other survival skills. But the learning doesn't end with preparedness skills. Prepping has taught me other life skills. The preparedness path can take you to cooking, into food safety, better budgeting, the value of paying down debt, rational decision-making skills, saving and investing for the future, creating better health habits, spotting a potential threat, reading and listening skills, recognizing when to evade a potentially bad situation, and many other life skills. So here's a soapbox warning. We can't prepare for everything. We are all unprepared on certain levels. So the willfully unprepared is no different than the diabetic who pushes the thought of a future amputation from their mind as they reach for another can of sugar, or the alcoholic facing liver failure as they take their next drink, or my younger self as I leaped into a physical altercation while ignoring the fact that it might be my last stupid decision. So what about all those preps, all that equipment? Most of us would be blown away by the dollar figure invested in long-term food storage and the survival equipment we have purchased to live a more prepared life. Was that money spent in vain? If you feel it was, then it was. I don't feel that way. Not always, but there are things I shouldn't have bought. So here's the deleted commenter asked, you're putting your family at risk and wasting money. What are you so afraid of? And then there was another common question is, what are you so afraid of? Dad, do you really think the world is ending? And then, of course, it's kind of a joke. He's attributing that to his daughter. So I have many responses to that question, but my favorite is, I'm not scared, I'm prepared. No, I don't think the world is ending. That said, I don't think pulling the wool over our own eyes, is useful either. But there are bigger questions to ask. So the Great Depression lasted 10 years, from 1929 to 1939. Do you think the people of today are more resilient or less so? Do you believe something similar or worse is impossible today? Do you have more confidence in today's government and leadership or less? Have we forgotten the supply chain disruption just a few years ago? Hundreds of thousands of shipping containers stuck in the ports? Do you trust the media to keep us informed of the truth? No, I don't believe the world is ending, but the gravy train. So prepping has taught me about food waste. So one commenter asked, impressive indeed, most of what I see on the shelves has a shelf life. The majority of the prepper books and videos I have seen recommend rotating inventory. What is your projected loss if a real SHTF scenario doesn't materialize for another 2 or 3 years? So one of those skills involves food rotation. Sure, I toss out the occasional box of whatever I didn't get to before it died on the shelf. Who doesn't? For the most part, that food gets eaten or donated well before it goes bad. Perhaps the biggest benefit of storing a backup food supply is saving money while limiting waste. Much of what we eat today was bought at last year's prices or even the year before that. How many normal people look for different ways to keep food scraps from going down the drain or into the trash? Most preppers do. From composting to freezing scraps for the next batch of homemade bone broth to feeding animals and livestock, we intentionally avoid food waste. Not because it's the yuppie feel-good thing to do, because we have learned the value of saving and using as much as possible. At the very least, those in the prepper community have learned to ignore the somewhat deceptive marketing tactic of best buy dates. You won't catch us tossing out cans or boxes of food because the date printed on the label has passed. That knowledge alone can translate into a large savings. So don't you regret spending so much. Yes and no. We're being honest here, right? Could I have invested more money into a better financial future? Probably. The thing is, what prepping has taught me applies to finance and wealth as well. I'm doing things today to secure a better financial future that I might not otherwise have done. Most normal people contribute to their 401k through work and hope it's enough. Hope is not a plan. Few understand that better than a prepper. Plus, I value food security when money might not buy it anymore. So what about all that stuff? Do you need all that gear? So what's the price of a sense of security? What would you pay to understand that you'll be okay with much of what other people outside your control throw at you? And if you don't survive, what is the value in knowing your family will be all right and that you've instilled a little resilience into their lives? So here's a quote from St. Augustine of Hippo. God has promised forgiveness to your repentance, but he has not promised tomorrow to your procrastination. So don't you love how I answer questions with more questions? Questions you didn't even ask? Hush now, I'm helping you answer questions others may ask, or perhaps addressing doubt that you haven't surfaced yet. You are welcome. But honestly, Brian, are you ever going to use that gas mask? Probably not, since I don't own one. I don't prepare for the apocalypse. There are certainly things I own and hope never to use. I hope I never need to use my gun or have to apply a tourniquet. Do you buy homeowners insurance hoping your house blows up? Of course not. You buy insurance to hedge against a catastrophe that would otherwise leave you helpless. And that's prepping. Again, hope isn't a plan. I plan to be as prepared as possible within reason. So living like that can't be healthy. Someone says it can't be healthy living like that. You might need professional help. Prepping can get away from you. An unhealthy prepping lifestyle is sad. Like every other aspect of our lives, survival and prepping requires a little balance and common sense. That is the biggest reason I started this website, to show as close as possible a step-by-step method without the waste and paranoia we see all over YouTube. I want to help people find the healthy balance to live life while prepping to survive the challenges thrown at them. I've mentioned this before, but had to replace my roof during the lockdowns. I mean the entire roof, shingles and wood. It was expensive. I also had to replace both our furnace and central air. Before I became a prepper, that would have meant going deep into debt. I financed zero. I also lost zero sleep over any of it. Does that sound healthy? The power went out last winter for a week. I was so excited to test my preps. Fear and worry never materialized. Running for help or finding a hotel never crossed our minds. So unhealthy. So when everyone was running around in a panic-driven hunt for toilet paper and necessities, we were sitting so pretty we were handing the stuff out. That peace of mind is super unhealthy, I guess. So value comes in many forms. There's value in sitting back on the weekend and enjoying time with family and friends. There's value in creating memories and teaching your children how not to become victims and take responsibility for themselves. There's a tremendous value in knowing how you will feed your family during the next shutdown or supply line disruption. There's probably value in driving a shiny new car for some, but I chose not to. Luckily, we can find value where we want, not where someone else says where to look. Another thing prepping has taught me. So yes, I feel like a better person than I did before this change. Not better than a non-prepper, a better me, a more relaxed and optimistic me, a me that is more confident, me as a prepper. I will continue as a prepper as long as I am able. When I'm gone, I prepped for that too. How will my family survive without me and what will happen with all that stuff? These will not be my last thoughts. I am a prepper. All right, so guys, that's the article, and there's been a couple of comments there, and you can go check that out. So Brian shares a lot of the same things that I believe in. And you know, when we've done the roundtables, and we probably overdue for another roundtable with Brian and Mick, and just kind of sitting around and chatting, but we kind of see eye to eye on a lot of things. So just some key takeaways, and just kind of like recap and go over some of these. So prepping has taught valuable emergency preparedness skills, such as food storage, canning, gardening, fire starting, water collection, self-defense, and many others. So you think about just the knowledge that people have out there. Now, I was a Boy Scout, and we did a lot of fun stuff out there, starting fires and all that good stuff. If you've never had to start a fire like that, you know, a lot of people have never done that. I always talked about that one time where we went camping with the Cub Scouts when my son was in Cub Scouts, and some of the leaders were starting a fire, and they had like a torch, you know, connected to a big propane tank. And I'm like, what in, what are you doing? You know, you're doing this in front of all these kids. Show them how to make a fire, man, with just one match. I remember having to do that. There was a test that we had to do. Our scoutmaster would not trust us with around fire and feeding the fire and stuff like that if we couldn't start a fire. And so they would watch us. They would look at that. But, you know, starting a fire, and not only that, but the food storage and the canning. I love what Brian said about, you know, you're eating last year's, you know, on last year's food prices. If you've gone to the store at any time now, you know that food prices are crazy. And so whatever you buy now is more than likely going to be a lot cheaper than what you have to spend a year from now. And so if you're building up your food storage, all that plays a part in it. And then the gardening, and if you're able to garden and you're able to get that going and you're able to have a little bit of food production there and all the other things, just knowing what to do. If there's a hurricane, you know, in my area, if there's a hurricane, knowing exactly what to do and not being scared or worried that, you know, the lights are going to be out and I'm going to lose all the food in my freezer and all that, you know, financial investment that I have in my freezer, knowing what to do there. So definitely has taught a lot of emergency preparedness skills throughout the years and just and what I've learned. And I love that Brian points that out. So it's also provided life skills, like budgeting and rational decision-making and saving and investing and creating healthy habits and recognizing potential threats. I think that's important, right? Sometimes people take it in the preparedness community, take it to extremes, right? They go to the paranoia side. Brian kind of touched on that a little bit. We don't want to get paranoid, but we want to be able to see the things that are coming. And so you're making good decisions. I think the budgeting, I know that I've talked about that a whole lot here, that if you are in good financial shape, when you are feeling it here in this economy, you are a lot better than those that are living paycheck to paycheck. And so, you know, we talk a lot about preparedness and survival skills and emergency preparedness skills, but a lot of the things that we talk about as well are just regular life skills that people have. And you know, you might have grown up and you might have been very lucky to have received education like this or skills like this from your parents, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that haven't. And so being in the preparedness community and hearing some of these things, sometimes people are hearing these things for the very first time. For them, it's not a reminder. For them, it's the very first time. Another takeaway is that prepping emphasizes the importance of being prepared without succumbing to fear, right? Acknowledging that unforeseen events can happen. And this is a big one for me. So fear for me is the first step. Dealing with fear is the first step in your preparedness, dealing with that. I've talked a little bit about my my stories, and you know what, I'm going to save it for another episode, or at least the recap on that one for another episode. But it's very easy to go down that fear road, and the reason that we prepare is so that we don't fear, right? If you come to a situation and you're able to say, hey, I've got a plan for that, I've got preps for that, I've got the ability to handle that, whatever that might be, the skills to handle that, then you're not sitting there frozen trying to figure out what to do or going to the internet and like, oh my gosh, how do I handle this? Or calling somebody and like, hey, 911, I need some help here. You're phoning a friend or whatever and you're able to deal with it. And so I think that is so important. And that's something that I hope that so many people hearing this understand, right? I mean, that's one of my things is like the fear, as you begin to prep, the fear goes away. He alluded to the fact there with the budgeting and like when he had to replace his roof and he had to replace his furnace and his central air and heat, right? That when he did that, he didn't lose any sleep because he didn't have to finance it all. He was able to pay for it because he had an emergency fund, you know, and that was a big thing. I remember being young and we were married and not having any money and worrying that something big would happen and what we were going to have to do, right? We had to charge it and charge up credit cards and all that kind of stuff. And then when, Dave Ramsey talks about this a lot, is when you have an emergency and you have the emergency fund to be able to take care of it, it's like, okay, you pull it out of savings and you're able to go and you're not worried there. You know, you might want to, you're trying to figure out how to replace that money into the savings account, but you're not stressing out of, fixing whatever it is that the problem is, right? If your car is needing a repair or whatever it might be. Another key takeaway is that food waste reduction through food rotation and avoidance of discarding items based solely on expiration dates is a significant benefit of prepping. So many people look at those dates and they're throwing things away, and they shouldn't. One of the reasons we have refrigerators is because it helps preserve things. It's one of those things, like, I'll eat leftovers a lot longer than anybody else in the house will. And it's just, sometimes it's just to prove a point. It's like, hey, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to get sick. I mean, part of refrigeration is that it's in there and it's better. And it's, of course, without reason, but there are some people, and it's like, it's just, they're just throwing food away. We throw more food away than anything. I really think that every house should have some kind of composting. And I think that's should be a part of everybody's household. What you can make with your compost and being able to add to your gardens and stuff. Even if you're not gardening, I think that would be smart to do. And so, dealing with that food waste. Another key takeaway is balancing prepping with common sense and avoiding excessive paranoia. That's just crucial for healthy prepping lifestyles. I always go back to the doomsday preppers when the television show is when they had one thing that they were prepping for. And a lot of that, it was just drama, and it was the television producers wanting to, focus on one thing. People don't normally do that, like, hey, I'm prepping for, a volcano eruption or whatever. And that wasn't really the thing, right? They wanted to be sensational about the way that they did their thing. But some people do get carried away with the fear and the paranoia. And so really coming more from a common sense, I think that as you are prepping and you are growing in your prepping, and so hear me out here, right? Hear me out. Everyone should be growing in their preparedness. And what I mean by that is you shouldn't be at the same place in your preparedness that you were 10 years ago. You should know more. You should have better skills. You should be able to navigate whatever is coming better because you have been preparing that way. If you are still stuck on the same fear that you had when you first started prepping, something's wrong. You're prepping with the wrong focus in mind. So again, you're balancing prepping and that common sense. And so you're moving to a healthy prep lifestyle, not one of paranoia that has you, living in a bomb shelter ready for the end of the world. Another takeaway is prepping offers a sense of security, resilience, peace of mind, right? You have that better financial future and overall family well-being. It should be adding to all of that. Your preparedness should be adding to all of that. If your preparedness is causing dissension and fear and tearing your family apart, something is wrong there, right? And so you really need to kind of take a step back and see where that's going. That might be a great topic for the exclusive email group. It's like, if your prepping is tearing your family apart, let's talk through that. Another key takeaway is that the value in prepping is not just about the physical supplies, but it's about preparedness for challenges and the ability to enjoy time with family and friends. The better you're prepared, the more you realize that making memories and having a family and spending time with your family and doing things that will even bring that into fruition later on down the road if there is an emergency is part of being prepared. And then the personal growth, right? Being a prepper can lead to personal growth and increase your confidence and give you a more optimistic outlook on life. It's really easy if you go down the negative rabbit hole that is out there that you can get very pessimistic and, oh my gosh, the world is ending and let's just, get it over with and the whole deal. But really there should be some personal growth there. You should be growing. You should have an increased confidence in your abilities of what you're able to do and what you're able to accomplish and how you're able to get through an emergency and get your family through an emergency, which should give you a better outlook on life and be a little bit more optimistic. So I want to share one of just my lessons learned, and there's many lessons learned. I can do probably multiple episodes on this if I just kind of sat down and wrote all these things down. But I just want to give you one to kind of end it here, come to a conclusion. this is my lesson learned, is don't prep for the end of the world as we know it. I know that's a big one to say there for a lot of people. Don't prep for the end of the world as we know it. So sensationalism is rampant everywhere, including the preparedness community. You can go to alternative media, you can go to the media, you can go to wherever, whatever, social media. I mean, you know, sensationalism is out there, but it's rampant in preparedness as well. Just go to YouTube and, you know, start looking at the channels that are more popular, and you're gonna see that, right? You're gonna see the titles of the videos, and they're gonna get you to click on those, and they're gonna get you to watch those. And the thing is that it's always prepping for, you know, something big is coming. You know, I heard a friend of a friend told me this, or I heard from somebody in the military, high up in the military, and all the different things up there. And so people are always like, oh my gosh, you know, the big one's coming, and then nothing comes of it. So I did a poll on Twitter, just because I've been playing around with on Twitter or on X a little bit more lately. And I did a poll basically asking, you know, what's your go-to way of cooking, you know, in an emergency situation. And so I put over an open flame, I put stove, I put a rocket stove or something. I can't remember all the different ones I put, right? I think you could put like four. But the one that won out was over an open flame. And the thing is like people were, what people were saying is like, oh, your propane is going to run out. Your butane, oh, that's what it was. Like a propane stove, a butane stove, and then like a rocket stove or something like that. And then, over, you know, open fire. And it's like your propane is going to run out. So you're going to have to, you know, go to fire. Well, okay. We're talking about an emergency situation. People all the time in preparedness always go to the end of the world as we know it. They always go to the most extreme, like the zombies, the walking dead, the end of the world, the aliens, the whole deal. And so like, you know, we're living out in the woods, cooking over an open fire. And if you have that skill and you can do that, that's great. That's awesome, right? But that's not the view that you should have. It's like, hey, if I have an emergency situation, when we were going through Hurricane Harvey over here, I never cooked over an open flame. Now I've got the ability to do that here, but I never did that. I didn't have to build a fire. I didn't have to go find wood to build a fire to cook. I turned on my stove and heated up my, you know, my propane stove, and I had coffee, right? I made coffee that way. It was more important for me to have a coffee maker, like old fashioned, you know, heat up on a, you know, over a fire, than to be able to build a fire out there in my fire pit. And so people always go to the end of the world as we know it, those extremes where it's more likely that you are going to be dealing with some kind of an emergency, hurricane, tornadoes, flood, fire, losing your house, losing your job, you know, those different kinds of things, you know, a health scare, you know, along those lines, those are the things that you should be preparing for first before you go to the end of the world as you know it. I'm not saying that you should never do that. I'm not saying that the end of the world isn't possible, but I'm saying that is not where you should go, right? Staying in that, and this is where I was talking about before in the key takeaways, where you know, Brian's key takeaways is that you should grow in your preparedness. You shouldn't be staying in the end of the world as we know it. Because if you stay in that fear, you're always looking for the boogeyman around every corner, right? You're always looking for, you're clicking on those videos, you're clicking on the articles, you're clicking on the social media that lends itself to that end of the world, because the boogeyman is coming, and you got to click on those whatever that is, the video, the blog post, and all that kind of stuff. And then that's where, and then again, Brian alluded to a lot of that, is if you're living in that, you can't enjoy your life. You can't enjoy your life. You can't enjoy your family. You can't enjoy, you know, the good and the blessings that you have in your life, because you're always worried. You're always uptight that the end of the world is just around the corner. And, you know, that's not a way to live. And definitely that's not preparing for your future. That's not what we're about. It's not wrong to think about that. It's not wrong to prepare, for something like that, but you should be preparing for all the other things that are more probable, the things that are more likely to happen in your life. All right? So guys, don't forget to go check out this article over at Next Step Survival. I'm going to link to it in the description, and so you can go and check it out. Well, everyone, that's another Ready Your Future episode for you. Listen, if you want to hang out with a community of preppers safe from the algorithms of social media, come check out the Ready Your Future exclusive email group. For $20 a year, you can ask questions, participate in discussions, and attend our virtual online meetups that happen twice a month. And with that, choose to live a more self-reliant life. Choose not to be so dependent on the government, grid, or the grind. Until next time, live with no regrets and stay prepped and aware. Peace.